truly pray that, Lord, your presence will go with us as we go into your word. We ask that the rain of your word also fall on us, so that, Lord God, we will fall upon the stones that you reveal to us, and we will be broken and our lives will be changed. Lord, for a broken and a contrite spirit, you will not despise. And so, Heavenly Father, this morning we come by the blood of Jesus afresh into your presence. And Lord, we just ask for help from on high. Mercy, Lord, unction from above upon my heart and upon my lips. So as I share this word under covering, it will come from the power. It will come in purity and accuracy, clarity and simplicity, the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing us, Lord, to our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation and insight from your word, Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, transforming and dominating, Lord, the flesh, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit that will dominate the flesh in the name of Jesus. So that we'll be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers, and bringing forth much more fruit that will glorify your name and be well pleasing in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth throughout the ends of the earth, under covering of my fathers, I pray that yokes will be broken, blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears will be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and to our ankle bones so that we will run where we have been walking. Lord, we will fly where we have been running. Lord, be swift, Lord, to hasten the time and to cause your kingdom to be made manifest upon the earth for all to see. In the name of Jesus, I ask for mercy as a scribe instructor in the kingdom to be faithful, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old. Lord, to the praise of your glory, help me to speak as you direct in all of my ways, Holy Spirit. Lord, I acknowledge you. I lean on you. And I ask that you would direct my thoughts, my steps, and let this word come forth to be a blessing to my fathers and to my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. And as always, it's a privilege for me to bring the word this afternoon. And I want to acknowledge my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, for their lives. Their lives are really an inspiration. You see love, you know, their example of care, you know, and kindness, you know, their example in intercession, their example in teaching the word and doing what they teach. And discipline that has personally for me brought me to where I am, you know. And I just pray that God will help me to have the grace to keep following unto the end. Amen. Just like I pray the same for you, that we will all follow to the end in Jesus' name. I want to say thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy, for your faithfulness. That's really, really has been a platform for us also to be able to follow after and be faithful. And we pray that you will reap a full reward in your lives and in the life of your seed of all that you have sown and keep sowing to the praise of God's glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So going to the word of God this afternoon, the title of this message is Securing Abundant Grace to Reign. God has given us abundant grace to reign as kings. And if you notice, you know, during the praise and worship, we talk about God's kingship, God's rulership, how he reigns and how he rules, you know. And so that is dominant. That theme is dominant. You know, the Lord Jesus came in to demonstrate to us as a baby, grew into a little child. And from a little child, he grew into a young man. And from a young man, he grew into a spiritual father. And when he had attained maturity, God entrusted him with a spirit without measure. So he began to manifest the glory of God. You know, and his life is a pattern to us. So that letting us know that as a man anointed by God, we also can be men anointed, and that presence of God can increase upon our lives progressively as we grow. Amen. And when it does, we can secure that grace and never drop that button of grace. Grace is a button, and you receive it from the Lord Jesus Christ through spiritual fathers, and you and I are supposed to use it to grow up into kingship in Christ. Amen. And then hand the baton down to our children so that there can be continuity of his dominion, so that of the increase of his government, there shall truly be no end. You know, and God has dropped this word so that we don't let the baton drop. We will not let the baton drop in Jesus' name. All right, so just a short word of exhortation. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Grace. Thank you. Give it to me in the Amplified Bible. Thank you. For if by one man's offense... No. Amplified Bible. The regular Amplified Bible. Not the Amplified Classic Edition Amplified Bible. Thank you. For if by... Let's read together. If by the trespass of one... If by the trespass of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, Adam, much more surely, let's say much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness by that grace reign in eternal life through the one, Jesus Christ. So there is the one first Adam, and there is the one second Adam. Amen. And the one Adam dropped the baton, and the one second Adam came and picked up the baton and handed the baton to us. And that baton is the baton of the grace of God, enabling us to have life. Bible says, I'm come that they might have life and then grow in that life to have it more abundantly. So life is not just in your spirit, but it's now growing and flowing and flooding into our souls, will, mind, and emotions, and flooding into our physical bodies. So after a while, there is no more sin. There's only life there. Amen. And that life now enables us to reign, as the Bible says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue. God has not changed. That purpose has not changed. We're supposed to dominate the earth. But it starts from us. We dominate ourselves. No, and as it were, dominate our physical bodies by putting the life of God into our souls and our mortal bodies. So we now have a garment. Amen. A wedding garment. That body that is flushed, the Bible says, a white raiment in the book of Revelation. That is the raiment that we now have to clothe our nakedness. So the sin nature doesn't show anymore. Amen. All that shows is God. Godliness. Amen. And in that, we then reign. We then begin to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God to preserve and pass. Demonstrate the financial, the astronomic riches that God has given the church. Amen. Demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. We demonstrate the glory of God and make it manifest to our generation. Amen. Talk about the double glory of physical and intellectual miracles, political miracles, amen, economic miracles, amen, we know environmental miracles, the whole gamut, the whole spread. And Bible, Jesus came to make us more than conquerors. That's what the message of the gospel is about. And we have to keep emphasizing, that's the full gospel. And that's what God is waiting for to be able to fulfill. And we're standing at the threshold. It's so close. And we have to make sure that we hold on to the baton and not drop it. Because it's possible for the baton to fall. So that's why we are securing the abundant grace of God to reign. Amen. Amen. So believing on Jesus Christ gives us access to the grace of God. What is grace? Pastors taught us. So I just let us know, remind us. It is the unmerited favor of God, amen, that gives us access to increasing measures of eternal life in our spirits, on the inside, it's in our spirits, through the cleansing work by the blood of Jesus. Grace is unmerited because it's based on what Jesus did. It's not based on what you are doing. You now base what you and I base what we're doing on what Jesus did. Amen. What he did is the foundation. There can be no other way. You can otherwise do, if you leave that, then really you are frustrating the grace of God. Amen. We will not do that in Jesus' name. Amen. No, all right. And you know, grace is a flow, it's a river. The Bible talks about a river in Psalm 46. The Bible says the river of life. The Bible says God is in that river. God is life. God is light. God is love. So life is in that river. Light is in that river. Love is in that river. Amen. It's the river of life. That's the parent force. And it's flowing. And anywhere it flows, help comes. Amen. God says God will help us. And that right early. Help comes. And God is sending help to you and I through eternal life. It's an understanding we have to embrace and begin to operate on skillfully. As men of David, amen. We need to begin to use that revelation knowledge skillfully. Life is not living forever. Life is a substance, the substance inside God that makes God God. John 5:26. And God gave it to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to us. Amen. And we are supposed to grow in grace. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It is possible to be a born again child of God and not know the only true God. What you know is a God that you have picked up and put together in your mind. It's not the true God, because you need eternal life to know him. John 17 verse 3. Let's look at it. It's found. I'm building up, but it's fundamental. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. So if they drop life eternal, they will not know thee, the only true God. They will know God, but the picture of God in their mind will not be complete. And so they will be prone to deception. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Very important that you understand that. So that you understand why we need that. So the flow of life, that river that flows, gives us light. John 8:12. The light of life. Life is the parent force. Again, light comes from that life. Amen. All right. Now that same life can be processed into power. Amen. The Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Just laying the foundation. Grace gives life. Amen. The Bible talks about the grace of life. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Before you give me Ephesians 1, give me 1 Peter 3 7. I think that's an important scripture. Just to look at and lay that foundation. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of. So you must understand, the life is from the grace. The grace is giving life. What the grace gives us is life. Amen. So when you say there's really no special grace. You know, it's grace. Amen. The more you use it and the more you grow in it, it becomes special. Because the measure keeps increasing. God gives us grace in measures. Amen. Amen. No, that's why I said that I've come that I might have life, one measure, and have it more abundantly, another measure. Okay, so he's talking about here that given as the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if you are not dealing with your wife as you ought to, your prayers can be hindered, because the grace of God will not be flowing to the measure that it should. That's what he's talking about there. So we're talking about measures. So that's important. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 to 19. All right. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at that. Wisdom and revelation to know him. That's how you can be in the church and not have that spirit of wisdom and revelation. If it was automatic that being born again, you would have it, he would not pray this prayer for them. So the fact that this prayer is a key prayer for us to be able to really know God as we ought to. Next verse. Okay? And the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that's that life we spoke about earlier, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, that is, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, okay, and the next verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That power there is dunamis, okay? So we have zoe, which is life. No, we have charis, which is grace. So grace gives life. From that life, we get light. From that life, we process into power. That's what he's talking about. That exceeding bit of his power to us world who believe according to the working of his mighty power. All right? So it is that grace that is really, really key, that process, that births godliness into our souls and our bodies. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 to 4. Again, we need to look at this. Very important. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, the substance, and godliness, the effect of the substance. You cannot be godly without life. You can look godly, but once we scratch the surface, your ungodliness will show. And your nakedness, the nakedness of sin under that veneer of godliness will come out and show. So there's no point hiding it. So God has given us a solution to sort it out from inside out. As the Bible says, the kingdom of God does not come for by outside in. It doesn't come by observation. It's from inside. It's within us. So that there is no, you know, in an exam, you in a math exam, if you write the first step, and you jump to the answer. There are five steps. And you jump to the answer, you know, and you get the answer. You get the mark for the answer, but you miss all the marks for the step. So you can get the answer and get 1/5. Because as far as the teacher is concerned, you have done what we call woo-woo. You have skipped many steps, which possibly you just got by an epiphany, you know, or you just used giraffe on somebody else's script, you know. So, you know, but this one, God is solving it from the beginning. From the beginning, you take it. You know, I've seen students get 101/100. You get more. That's abundance. You get more than is available naturally, because the teacher is so pleased. He gives you extra out of the discretion that only he has as a teacher. So he marks all your steps and gives you and his hand and he writes excellent and gives you +1. That's where we're going, brethren. The Bible says, no, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God's going to say that of us in Jesus' name. So that's what God is doing, okay? The life is supposed to produce godliness. Godliness, love, obedience. These terms are interchangeable. I'm using them interchangeably, okay? So you can understand. So the law is a law. The law of life and love. Look at the 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. It's a law of life. It's a law. Love is not a good idea. The way to the power of God is not grace. Yes, grace does give power. But the power, initially, the earnest power that you generate in the place of prayer is to produce love. It is the love that will trigger the fullness of the power. And if you don't walk in that commandment, you are disobeying God. Look at 1 John 3. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ to receive life. In Jesus' name I have life. And love one another as he gave us commandment. It's not an idea. It's not a suggestion, brethren. It's a commandment. And it's important for us to keep an eye on it. That's what the Bible calls in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says, fear God and keep his commandments. It's the same thing. The fear of God gives you life. And it's that life used to finish his command. That's why it says, that is the whole duty of man. If you want to, it is the one that will make you more like Jesus, so you become a better architect, a better marketing agent, a better doctor, a better politician. Once you take love out of the picture, we always end up swerving into vain jangling. I was in the Bible study that Pastor Lee was preaching so powerfully this morning. You swerve into jangling. Look at 2 Peter. Check on Timothy, I beg your pardon. Chapter 3, verse 7. ever learning and never able to come to the truth. How can you be learning and never know the truth? Life, your attitude, that attitude is shutting off the life of God. So the life of God is not illuminating the knowledge that you have. So your knowledge is making you proud instead of making you more like God. So you never know the truth. So you keep running around. And ultimately, as you keep running around, you're going to get off into error. That's how people get off into error. Love, as part of love, is the goal. And that goal is key for us to be able to stay on track. Otherwise, we get sidetracked. We swerve off the goal that God has for us. And love is what makes us invincible. Is what makes us, the Bible says nothing can separate us. Neither light, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing can separate us except ourselves. Our negligence to give ourselves fully to walk in this law of life and love, and that diligently. That is what God. So you can see that diligence. So grace, let's say we had a grace. One more time. Grace gives life. And life gives light and power. And light and power gives love. That wisdom is in that love. Amen. Love is wisdom. They know discerning by the word of God, you know, desiring by compassion, and doing by the power of the Holy Spirit what God will do in every situation. That is love. Okay? So so love is the way really to release the fullness of God. Right? And God, so what, going back to Romans 17, no, God wants us to reign in love by grace. Reign in love by grace. And once you reign in love by obedience of God, or reign by doing the will of God, you are now qualified to teach. Acts chapter 1. All that Jesus Christ began to do and to teach. You cannot teach if you don't do, as far as God is concerned. The prerequisite for teaching is doing. It's not knowing. Lord have mercy. I keep remembering. Sometimes mommy is sharing with us and she will just say, oh, where's that scripture that he says, off head, you know, Pastor Brian, jam, you know, any other person that's there, Pastor Dewey, any other person, just come out with the word, bam. I say, you people know the scripture, Sha. You know the scripture. Me, the little one I know, I just try and do it. He's giving you wisdom. It's not real. The knowledge of it is good. But the doing of it is the goal. We do it. When we do it, then we become vessels unto honor that he can use in any way, including teaching. So if you desire to teach, then understand that the goal is doing. And the body of Christ is very important that we understand that teaching is not, you know, just teaching, you know, and being able to hear the sound of your voice. That's pride. Your teaching is making you more proud. Your teaching should be making you more humble. Because your focus is that you are teaching so that whatever you teach, you do it better than you are doing it before. The goal is doing. So you want to do more. Do more. And that doing keeps you humble. Like the Bible says, them that fall upon the stone shall be broken. It's good to have the word of God in your mouth, but in your belly, it's supposed to be bitter. It's supposed to make that journey into our hearts so that we can then do it, you know, and it's the doing. So what are we talking about? We're talking about doing the word. We're talking about walking in love. We're talking about not missing opportunities to walk in love. It's not enough to say, Father, I confess my sins, and then continue with business as usual. There must be a soberness that must come upon us to make sure that we are doing more and more, and you are keeping yourself in that presence all day long. Some days you may drop out, you know, and then you confess your sins, you repent to the people that you have offended, and you make up your mind that I'm going to do better tomorrow. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's how to hold on to it so that we don't swerve and get off, you know, and that's what the Apostle Paul taught. So that we don't fall short of the fullness of the glory that God has set. But look at Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Romans 2, 7. Thank you. Oh, okay. Well, to those who, thank you. To them who by patient continuance, that's the word. Patient continuation in doing, in well doing. It's talking about love. It's not doing, oh, well doing, well pleased. That's what it's talking about. You must interpret it in context. Seek for glory. That's not the end. Honor and immortality, eternal life. So you keep getting more life and more life. That eternal life is talking about is, you can put it this way, more grace. It's the same thing. Because eternal life is coming from the grace of God. So we're talking about increasing measures of the grace of God. Now look at Noah, because this is very important. Noah, Bible says Noah found grace. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. I'm going to turn there. In the eyes of God. So that means that when God scanned the entire earth, like Pastor Pidgeon was talking about the flood of glory, you know, Noah stood out. He shone like a million stars. And God said, wow, this guy, well, how did he find it? Because he had a humble heart. And that humble heart, that lowly heart, was what attracted that grace that he had. So in spite of all the sin that was around, Noah was an oasis of refreshing to God, himself and his family, because they were obeying him. So Bible says eight persons, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. Thank God for legacy. You need to give Noah a clap offering. You know, he's looking down from heaven. So that's how much. It's very important to appreciate when, because everybody has a free will. The Bible says, God, Noah found grace. It means that the grace was there for everybody. But only Noah found it. And when Noah found the grace, he went upstream. He went against the grain of ungodliness and unrighteousness that was making God sick. And Noah became salt that was preserving the earth in the eyes of God. Until God said, you know what? This thing is going to want this world, eight people, they're not enough. And God felt that, you know, why didn't God do that in with Adam? Because Adam too was given grace and he dropped the baton. But Noah had been building up for 120 years. That grace had helped him to stay faithful to God and keep declaring the word of God. And he built the ark. And he got to the point where he actually entered into the ark. God helped him with the animals, put everything in the ark. So by that grace, he escaped the judgment that came upon everybody else, because he found grace in the eyes of God. You will find grace in God's eyes in Jesus' name. All right, that's the will of God, you know. And the same thing is talking to us today. You know, like Pastor Preachman was talking to us, he said there's a flood of the glory of God that's about to hit the earth. Look at Psalm 84 verse 11. Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God, I can't hear you, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give what? Grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that do. Walk uprightly is due. So the grace through the doing will bring glory. That's what God is saying. And, you know, and when that flood hit the earth, Noah was lifted up. He and his family, they were lifted up instead of being swallowed up by the flood. Okay, into demonstrating the glory of God, as it were. By escaping, it was the glory of God that kept them shielded. So they were an example. And God was fixing to start a new prototype of human beings that will be obedient as Noah had been obedient. Look at Genesis chapter 9 verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be what? Be what? Fruitful and multiply and replenish the... Amen. Where did we hear this from? Genesis to Adam. So God was starting afresh. Isn't that good? Look at verse 7 and 8.
Thank you, Lord. Verses 7 and 8.
And you, be ye fruitful. Say it again. And multiply. Bring forth what? Abundantly. Where? In the earth. And multiply.
Why? Because there was abundant grace.
He had it. He had it. He had increased in the grace. It wasn't like Adam that had not really significantly started walking in. Noah had built it up. He had built it up.
Alas, look at verse 20 to 21. Verse 20 to 21. 20. I just want to save time. Thank you. 20.
All right. And Noah began to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard.
Next verse.
And drank of the wine. And was what? Drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. What's this talking about? It's talking about the fact that God stopped being Noah's priority. Because God was now, Noah had now became a husbandman. That husbandman, that vineyard thing was distracting him. And the time he used to give to God and the effort he used to give to God, he was not doing it as he used to. And it got to a point where he was drunken. Drunken just means he's overcome. The thing has dominated him. And the life of God, the grace of God, is not the one dominating him anymore. So he lay uncovered. His nakedness was appearing. And his son, you know, we know the story. Ham, he came and looked at it. And when his father woke up, and can you imagine? And instead of passing down the baton of grace to his generation, he passed down a curse. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But if it happens to him, it can happen to anybody. Nothing is automatic. And we are not better than him. And he has built it up. So it's not how we start. It's how we finish. God, Pastor, gives us. When the glory comes, you will still need to pray. You will still need to walk in the Spirit. You will still need to walk in love. You still need to make sure you do the correct things so that you can keep that baton and hold on to it and pass it down to our generation. Amen. And no, that's what God is looking for. So why did he fall? As we go on to the message. Why did he fall? Well, he frustrated the grace of God. That's what he did. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that the grace of God is what gives you life. That grace works when you are submitted to God as you ought to. If you don't keep your heart with all diligence, that heart will become proud. It will become offended. And the grace of God that was bringing life, that river that was flowing before, you've just built a dam to block it. And you're not going to generate any electricity from that dam. Nothing's going to come out of it. Nothing good is going to come out of it. That life stops flowing. And all the good things that the grace was doing in your life before will stop because you've set it aside. That's what it means to frustrate. You've cut off that flow. You've leaned on your effort. You are not on the grace of mercy of God. That wrong attitude, pride, offense, whatever it is, is now bringing death in the place of life. That's what happened to John the Baptist. He himself said that I'm not worthy to untie the latchet of his shoes.
He's the one who baptizes with Holy Ghost and with fire.
He identified the Christ for us, but he didn't follow the Christ.
Brethren, we need to follow. We need to follow. It's the attitude. If you don't submit in your heart, you are not following. You are in the church, oh, you are in the church. It's not a church thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. Someone that is not in this church can be following more than you. Lord, have mercy on us. And that's not the will of God. But, I mean, God is not going to legislate it. No, these things cannot be legislated. You can't beg them. You can't see them. You can't say, Holy Spirit, please give me two more measures. I will obey tomorrow. No. It's what you're doing right now, current form. It's the heart. So the heart affects the flow. Okay? And when that heart affects the flow is cut off. Once the flow is cut off, you are frustrating it. You are not allowing it to flow. And you are not going to get the benefit thereof. So you are going to rob yourself of everything that was supposed to give. Light, power, fruit, and then know all the blessings that come by it. You are going to cut it off. That's what's happening. It's not worth it. You have to forgive and let it go. So that you can grow and grow. Didn't Joseph forgive? It's an example. He grew and grew and grew and grew. And when they were at his mercy, when they were now at his mercy, because some of us, it's easy for us to grow when they're not at our mercy, waiting for when it will be our turn. Hey, it will be my turn. It will be my turn. Hey. But when is your turn? How will you do? Because at that point, when is your turn? You know, things change. And God's looking at the heart. God, but Joseph worked on his heart to the God, and God helped him. No, God put him there for some more time to make sure that the thing was worked in. So when it was his turn, he broke into tears and said, why will I do that? I will nourish you. I will nourish your children. Love. When they scratch the surface, love should come out. Should be love. God will have mercy on us. And if they've scratched the surface, or they bulldozed the surface, or they threw stones at the surface, and then all that love came out, don't blame them. It's not them. It's you. It's me. Accept it. Repent. And work on it again. Until the love comes out. So we don't frustrate the grace of God. So, all right. So it's very important. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Let's put some scripture behind that. NIV. Give it to me in NIV. Let's read it together. Right. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, the grace of God is the one that is keeping everything working and subduing it. Once the grace is not there and you miss it, bitterness will come out. Offense will come out. Unforgiveness will come out. Covetousness will come out. Immorality will come out. It's the grace that is keeping all of them down. So when you are seeing them come up, they are branches. They are not the root. You need to go to the root to get it out. And once you get it out, you find that everywhere you turn, where you are losing, you begin to win. Hallelujah. You turn it around. Bible says, a stone is as a precious gift in the eyes of him that handles. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Anywhere there's grace in your life, you know, you just, anything you do is just blessed. Because the grace is flowing everywhere. And the same, but sometimes when there's a stop in the flow, it will start from one place. The place it starts from may have no relationship with you. Maybe come from something, maybe from the workplace. But the key and the root is the heart. And the earlier you stop that flow and allow the river to start flowing again, it will not show up in your home. It will not show up in your children if you quickly get your act together. But if you leave it and leave it, and look at John the Baptist. He started in the place of ministry. He didn't submit. In the end, he took his life. Because you're either moving forward or you're moving back. And that's what God wants us to be aware of. Okay? So we must not allow ourselves to be blinded and cut off. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Very important scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Thank you.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Stop. Brethren, what you are is by the grace of God. I know you worked very hard. I know your parents did very much. But if God did not breathe on it, nothing will come out of it. So just for that very fact, the Bible says, Paul planted, Apollos watered. But who gave the increase? God. That increase is from God. And except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman is watching in vain. I don't care how much experience you have in watching the city. Once God is not behind you, you are an accident going somewhere to explode. So you have to check quickly. Check quickly. That's why God told them, said, when they were defeated at Ai, you know, Joshua went and said, you let us fall before our enemies. He said, me? I beg. Go back to your people. I'm paraphrasing. There is sin in the camp. It's not God. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Always start from that premise. The problem is not with God. God doesn't do today, and then tomorrow it turns like that. In him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Straight as an arrow. In fact, God is the one that made the arrow. All right, so it's important. So is that is very important. That frustrating grace of God is different from this. So it's important to know that by the grace of God we are who we are. All right,
and His grace, which was bestowed upon you and I, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So we're looking at another thing now. Receiving the grace of God in vain. It's not the same as frustrating the grace of God. But they have the same effect. The receiving grace of God in vain is when you receive the grace of God, but you are not using it as diligently as you ought to. So it is not producing the amount of power it should, the amount of light it should. There is something coming up, but it's not sufficient. That's what is happening. That's what happened to Noah. John Baptist's case was the root, heart. In Noah's case, it initially was rather he wasn't doing things diligently enough. Was receiving the grace of God in vain, lazy in operating the commandment of life and love that had brought him thus far. Because now he had a vineyard. And the vineyard had promise of prosperity. So that now began to compete with his focus. May God have mercy on us. You need to keep your eyes on the goal. The goal is loving and pleasing God. That's the goal. It's loving and pleasing God. No, keeping the word of God in our hearts by confession and meditation, fasting, praying in travail, so that we don't fall short of the purpose and the goal that God has set for us. Amen. It's very important that we understand. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. So, grace of God, we must not receive the grace of God in vain. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. If you are doing something lazily, you are wasting some of the resources that God has given you. So you won't get the maximum out of it. So you receive grace of God in vain. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. And we will not receive grace of God. But that's what Noah did. He received the grace of God in vain. And ultimately, from receiving grace of God, he now went to frustrate the grace of God. But his heart now changed. So they work together. It's a system. That diligence, you must be diligent. The Bible says, thou hast commanded thy precepts to be kept diligently. You don't keep God's precepts lazily. You're not meant to keep them the way you think. You're meant to keep them the way he said. If the man said four times a day, he meant four times a day. Remember the king went to the prophet, pray, and the prophet said, yeah, take, open the window to the east, and said, shoot arrows. And he shot three. He shot something.
He shot it, but it wasn't enough. And the man of God told him, he said, why did you stop? If you have done more, but now you will only overcome them for some time, and then after they will come back and overcome it. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But that comes from not doing enough. Brother, you need to be ready to do things until you get to the desired goal. If you haven't got the desired goal, we keep doing it. We keep walking in love until we get the glory. We're not going to stop. There's no place to stop. There's no place to give up. There's no place to faint. We keep doing it. And as we do it, that life of God becomes more manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. So wrong attitudes is what causes the grace of God to be cut off. All right. Whereas a lack of diligence, manifests in wrong priorities. Look at Esau. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read from verse 15 and take it down. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of in Esau's case, he was always feeling bitter against his brother. He had been feeling bitter. He had a problem. That was a familiar. All of us have our familiars. Okay? But your familiar can be subdued by the grace of God. So even when the glory came, Noah and his sons and their wives and his own wife escaped the flood. They were not perfect. They were supposed to continue to use the grace of God to continue to keep themselves holy and pure and well-pleasing. But then it got distracted. The same thing with Esau. When any root of bitterness springing up, because what was subduing it before has been removed, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Look at verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who from one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Next verse. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But these things are written for our admonition, to understand that don't think that the grace of God is there and will always be there, and then we continue to take the grace of God for lasciviousness and just be doing what we like and all that. No. That's what we learn from this story. How then do we do it? Look at Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31. We're going to escape this pattern of dropping the baton in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to hand the baton fully to our seed and our seed, to the glory of God. And we are going to press. They will press the tape, but we'll be there in the company. Amen. They will be informed, but we're there with them. Amen. And like Pastor said beautifully, I said amen to that. They can't do it without us. And we can't do it without them. So it's I and the children. Amen. Hallelujah. All right? But it's important. Jesus wants the best for us. He fought all he did, went to hell, spoiled principalities, and made us more than conquerors. He didn't make us like himself. He was the conqueror who made us more than conquerors. The question is, what are you going to make your children? They should be more than you. The glory of the latter house must be greater than the former. It's with that diligence that we run, brethren. We run to make sure that when it comes to things of God, our children are ahead of us. When you look at them and look at how you are, there must be hope. They must be ahead of you, age for age. They must be ahead of you. They know you. That's the whole idea. That's how you make sure they come. Look at this scripture. It's also in 2 Kings, but this one says, and the remnant, I can't hear you. If you believe this for yourself, let's say it together. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward in humility continuously and bear fruit upward in love. That's the solution. To secure the grace of God, we keep taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. That's it.
taking root and we'll keep exercising ourselves in humility by the life of God and keep walking in love, you know, so that by the humility and by, look at the scriptures, the scripture comes to my mind, by humility and the fear of Lord, give me that scripture, by humility and by the fear of Lord is honor, riches and life. There's something like that in the Bible. Get it, please, in the book of Proverbs. Get it. But it's the two. It's the same thing as this scripture. It's the, thank you. By humility and the fear of the Lord, I want riches. It's not just physical riches. It's both spiritual and physical riches. First of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Because it's humility. Remember, so wisdom and knowledge, no incredible photographic memories, talking about all that. Scientific things, scientific discoveries. I was trying to be trailblazers, innovators, solution providers. We're talking about that, okay? And physical riches in the quadzillions. Amen. And honor. Honor. And life. What do I talk about? Immortality. Doesn't mean you won't die. But there's so much life. You can dictate when, how, and where with God. And reign. That's the kingship. It's by humility and the fear of the Lord. So, let's look at the steps. So we need to be praying for a heart of humility. That prayer, thank you very much upstairs. Let me put it up. That prayer, I choose to fear God. Very important. Thank you for giving. It's a very important prayer. You must pray daily for a heart of humility. We pump that life of God, you know, and power continues into our soul and our flesh. Let's say it together. I choose to fear God. So we humble ourselves by submitting to the will of God, even when we don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of His judgment and chastening if we disobey, and the security of His mercy when we obey. And so we have more of the humility of the mind of Christ, so we are more meek and lonely and remain small relative to God in our own sight. It's one of four prayers. It's a prayer for humility. There's a prayer for revelation, wisdom. Amen. There's a prayer for love, you know. And there's a prayer, you know, for the fruit of the Spirit, you know, when you all the component parts of love, you know, you pray those prayers. So you begin to make your will more submitted to the will of God by the life of God walking inside it, by the power of God, you know, on the outside. You break that rod of pride. Bible says, I will break the power of your pride, the pride of your power. You break it. That inherent thing that is in our hearts, that stubbornness. You break it by the force of spiritual arms and you give it life so that you can bow in humility. That's how it is. That's what it does. Look at Psalm 66, verse 9. Psalm 66, verse 9. Talking about God, says, which holdeth our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. Your soul needs to be held. God needs to be washing our soul in life. He's bathing it in that solution of eternal life. So even if your foot wanted to be moved, it cannot be moved, because the life is flowing and life just has a way of making you do the right thing. But you must set those Lord in motion. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7. Do it at least 4 times a day. The prayer for humility. That brings on the prayer for wisdom. Then the prayer for love. Love flowing from your will to your mind, to your emotions, to your physical body. And then the component parts of fruit of the Spirit. You build it in. You are building an ark. And you are pitching it within and without. Amen. Within in your will, mind, emotions, without in your body. So you will not leak the power of God. And the day where you are going to be tested, you will pass the test. Because the Bible says your soul is held in life and don't allow your feet to be moved. Amen. It's a faithful God. Amen. Very important. All right. Number two, you make God priority by speaking God's word. It's very important. So that when you, anywhere you go, because no circumstances here, the circumstance of being mocked and being ridiculed and building the ark was a different situation from when they came out of the ark and there was nobody.
and it was only them. It was easy to let your guard down. It was a different situation. So even when, so these are things you must do day in, day out. Come rain, come shine. I travel, I don't travel. I go for a wedding, I don't go for a wedding. Even though when you are doing things for a wedding, if you are not careful, you will misbehave. Yes, because you need to be doing all the time. So all the time. So you keep your guard down. That's Gideon's 300. Their eyes were looking to and fro. Alright? So make God's word top priority. Look at, I submit my will. Let's take that prayer. Thank you. Then put it up. Let's say it together. I submit my will. Firstly to God, through his word, and also through my conscience with reverence. And tells you why. Without God, I can't survive spiritually or physically. You can't survive both. Your life is but a vapor. Secondly, I submit to those in authority over me, spiritual fathers and mothers, pastors, husbands, parents, boss, with reverence. Without them, I can't survive physically nor progress spiritually. Third one. Next one. And thirdly, those I'm in authority over. You are jumping. Next one. Thank you. All right. Those I'm in authority over, flock, wife, children. You must submit to your children. All the African men. Lord, have mercy on us. We submit to those in authority and submit to your servants when what they say is correct. You don't lose anything. See, what you want is the will of God. What you want is to walk in love. That's why that love thing, that priority thing must be there. You build it in. So what I want is love. I don't want my own. So every time you keep asking yourself, is this my own or is this, you know, or what's the big deal about this? Is this my own? Or by that time, you find that that life is not flowing the way it's supposed to flow. Amen? All right? So let's look at it. With meekness, without them, I cannot progress spiritually or physically. When what they say is in line with the word of God and the will of God, but is inconvenient for my pride and feelings, making me lower than I think or know I am. Next one. I esteem my colleagues. You now go the extra mile. This is taking root deeper. Taking root deeper. So you can bear fruit upward. I esteem my colleagues as better than myself. And I maintain an attitude of reverence to those above and meekness to those below me in authority as well as toward all men. Even when I think or know I'm right and they are wrong. Pray daily. Daily. Must put those things in there. So that we're getting life from different sources. You know, we have four sources from which you get life from. We get life from God directly. You know, then we get life from set fathers. Then we get life from eldership. Then we get life from our brethren. Those four sources. And to grow, to reign, to reign. Not just to survive, but to reign. All those sources must be flowing. So sometimes you may have one out of four. In fact, by the time you have, it's not going to work one out of four, because look at Luke 16 verse 10 to 12. Luke 16. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is just as much. What this tells me is this, that God is looking not to the big things, he's looking to the little things. If you are failing, I tell the children, you know, because they can understand it that way. If you are failing in continuous assessment, assignment, you know, but you can never pass exam. That's God's law. Least. So instead of planning for the big one, look at the least. That's the one I focus on. So obedience starts now, not tomorrow. Now. What can I do now to make sure I obey? That's what it's talking about. Okay? And so look at next, verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is money, who will commit to your trust true riches? This is a big one. Oh. If you have not learned to let money go, and money controls you, like it must have started controlling Noah, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Next verse.
Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give that which is your own? So if you are not faithful in submitting to those in authority over you, both said fathers and those elders, the eldership, your own will not work. So guess what? It's not 1/4 or 2/4. By the time you are not operating, the one to those in authority over you, even the one to God will be cut off. It'll be cut off because you have to be faithful in another man's for that one to be on. So you go from 4/4 to 4/4 to 0. It's never 0, but you get what I mean. You know, you go from top, you can just go from top, bottom like that. Because there are little details in between. Fine print that makes sure that God locks out rebels. God will have mercy on us. Okay? So it's important for us to make God top priority. You speak His word, you know, I submit my will. You do that. And then you now, when you have said it, you now look over doing it. Okay? Number 3, receiving apostolic and prophetic instruction from spiritual fathers. Believe the Lord, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. Okay, so that prophetic word is very important, and you act on it. When you act on it, Matthew 21, verse 42 to 44, when you act on it, you fall upon the soul. Let's look at that. Matthew 21, verse 43 to 44. Thank you. Right. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God, or divine love, as the kingdom of God, as the, shall be taken from you, and give the shall bring forth the fruits thereof. Next, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone, what is the stone? The stone of the word that I'm sharing with you now, shall be broken. But whomsoever shall fall, it will grind him to powder. God wants us to fall upon the stone of what we have been taught, and be broken. The Bible says a broken and a contrite spirit. Psalm 51. You know, that will not despise. It's very important. So that brokenness is what brings grace. So we keep working on grace. So your attitude to the word, your attitude to people in authority, you know, your prayer life, those things are important. Number 4, you learn to pray with travail. And thank God for Good Morning Jesus. That's why we have Good Morning Jesus. So we can learn it. Without travail, you cannot form. The Christ cannot be formed in you. Love, you cannot walk in love effectively without travail. You may not start with travail. In fact, many times we don't start with travail. We start with confession of the word and praying in tongues. Yes, but you get to a point where it becomes, you cross a line where it becomes mandatory for you as an individual. Now, otherwise, the Bible says, my little children, Galatians 4:19, of my travailing birth again until Christ be formed in you. So it's very important. And that's the way Jesus prayed, Hebrews 5:7. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he walking in love. Love learned to walk in love. God, Jesus, learned to walk in love by the things that he suffered, by the way he prayed. So he learned obedience. He didn't learn it because he was God. God didn't give Lord Jesus any free lunches, any extras. He learned it step by step. We have to go the same way. Amen. And number 5, we train our children the same way. So there is continuity. Amen. I didn't say teach. Train. Train. So you teach them to pray. Then they pray in your presence. And as they are praying, you correct their praying. Then you teach them, and then you correct them. You train. Then after you now say, okay, go and pray on your own. No, and then sometimes you come again and check to make sure that you train so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's very important. Look at Psalm 110, verse 2 to 3 as we round up. 110. Verses 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of the enemies of the carnal mind and the flesh. Amen. Next verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, godliness, love, that beauty. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of youth. It's the young people. He's talking about young people being willing to do the will of God and the power of God hitting them so that they can walk the way of love. And as parents, it's not our responsibility, or parents or guardians, it's our responsibility to make sure that we put our children in the way so that they being in the way, the power will just hit them and then they walk, they keep walking. Amen. It's very important you understand, because that is the continuity we're looking at. Look at Isaiah 59 verse 21. Isaiah 59, 21. This is God, who, that means this God has been up his mind about this. So we have to make sure we play our part so that God, what God has said, will be our portion. Let's look at it. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put where? I can't hear you. Where? Shall not depart out of thy, nor out of the mouth of thy, not out of the mouth of thy, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Next verse. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So there will be, as your children, our children, we ourselves operate the borrowed anointing. Amen. Then as we keep growing on the borrowed anointing, we come into our own full inheritance. Our children operate our own borrowed anointing. And then they also take up, they get the battle when they grow into their own and inherit their own anointing. Amen. So you begin to pass it down from generation to generation. First of all, borrowed, but no, the, on the outside, devil just sees dominion, 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 dominion. But on the inside, I will see that it is borrowed at some time, then it is inherited. Then it's borrowed from generation, you go from borrowing to inheriting, borrowing to inheriting. And there's the continuity of the glory. And the whole earth shall be covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's the will of God for us. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. God has called us into his throne. We used to be sinners, but now he's called us into his throne. We need to bow our hearts in greater humility and greater obedience, to walk in love, greater diligence in keeping our hearts, renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty and craftiness, diligence in keeping the law, so that all creation will see the glory and the riches and the wisdom of God demonstrated, and God will be glorified. And we will be honored. It's not a message. It's a message to consecrate ourselves more. Don't condemn yourself. There's so much at stake. And the earlier we get the glory, the many things that will be aborted. So we learn not to receive the grace of God in vain. Earth and heaven worship you, God eternal. God eternal, faithful and true. The Father made.
bought the nation.
Ransomed soul.
Brought the sinner
near to your throne.
All within me,
all within me,
cries out
in praise.
Your
majesty. Of God, we don't deserve. Oh, we live to serve your majesty. We live to serve your majesty. We live to serve. Yes, your we live to love. Live to serve your majesty. We live to serve your majesty.
Let's raise up that hand to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that you've brought me as a sinner near to your throne. You've given me the royal robe of the grace of God that I did not deserve. And now you expect me to use that robe to walk in life, to live, to love, and know and serve you with all of my heart all the days of my life, and to secure the same for my seed and my seed's seed unto the fourth generation. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful, to keep my heart with all diligence, so constantly I will be connected to the grace of God flowing in increasing measure. Help me, Lord, to receive that grace, to be diligent, laboring abundantly, so you will make me into the image and the stature of the fullness of Christ, helping me, Lord, to reign as a king by that grace in my home, in my community, my place of work, in our nation, Nigeria, and the nations of the world. Father, have mercy on me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Raste kodendin kanabat. Belele bedi koko tevebo sotum berere. Rapa pa 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 kose bizetosh. Rengene bebo bako peke pa pa pare. Rapa pa pa kunza ba. Seconda, jeke deve bedi pako tu. Paro koti, je pro kotela. Tenga leve bedi kakano. Rapa pande, rapa koto. Rode, badiat, badiot, bakrenia. Kroka kange, jeke koko bandebe. Bekele boa, elo, robo, bobo, bobo, han, robo, bobo, bobo, kaka, koko, leve, bedi, koko, kuma, mama, honga, deda, congo, deda, rombe, deda, kanga, bobo, bobo, peke, jekoma, onde, bika, moe, onge, le, bali, rode, bo, bele, leve, rapa, kote, mi, koko, jeke, kombe, ke, la, mate, ropa, la, bo, la, mate, bele, le, bedi, yana, robo, bobo, bobo, kose, rosa, ke, dama, jeke, leve, bedi, runa, bobo, 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 koko, ben, ganate, in Jesus' name, amen. Now the anointing and power of God is here to heal. It is here to deliver. It is here to encourage and to comfort. I want you to reach out to God right there under your breath. Whatever it is that you need, reach out to Him. His presence is here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, for in your presence there is fullness of joy, and the rain of your presence is filling this place. And so, Father, Lord, we come to, from that rain of presence, Lord, we minister healing to all those that need it in their mortal body. In the name of Jesus, we minister healing to the mind. Encouragement where there was discouragement. We break the power of spirits enforcing infirmity and depression and discouragement and worry and anxiety in the name of Jesus. And we say, be thou made whole. Let every need be met by your presence according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.